First John, chapter 3, resuming our study in verse 10. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. First John, chapter 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. People who have prayed the sinner's prayer, or been confirmed, or been baptized, or joined a church, but do not live a righteous life and have been told that it doesn't matter, they're still saved, have been lied to. Only those whose direction in life is holiness are right with God through Jesus Christ. That is what we are learning over and over again in 1 John 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The very first Christian attribute that should reveal itself in a new Christian is the attribute of love. A new Christian should begin to love the things that God loves. As someone who did not have that attribute, obviously, was Cain. Verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Abel loved and obeyed God. Cain did not care about God. God blessed Abel because of his devotion. Cain was miserable because he lived in sin. Cain was jealous of his brother, so he killed him. Cain was a fool. He blamed his brother for his own unhappiness. He should have accepted personal responsibility and repented. Cain's misery was his own fault. He was unhappy because he did things his way, not God's way. 13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Do not expect better treatment from the world than Abel received from Cain. And don't worry about it either. Worry if the ungodly like you. Then you have something to worry about, because you're doing something wrong somewhere. Be content being holy, and accept the fact that you won't be applauded by hell-bound sinners who couldn't care less about God. We shouldn't expect better treatment than Jesus received from the world. 13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Sometimes Christians get upset when they do the right thing and no one pats them on the back. But what do they expect from the world? Congratulations, you're holy. Congratulations, you did what was right in the eyes of the Creator. Congratulations, you really take Jesus seriously and you live for Him. Is that what they expect? You know, they spit on Jesus. And they hammered Him to the cross because He did what was right. Who are we to expect better treatment than our Lord received? God says, don't marvel, my brother, if the world hates you. Of course, the world will not hate a compromising Christian, and that's because a compromising Christian is the world. But the world will have no use for a holy one who speaks the truth. God is warning ahead of time. 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. If you can't stand Christians who talk about Jesus as if he is real and actually means something to them, or because they live the way they should live, you're not right with God. God is saying, if you don't like decent, God-fearing Christians, then obviously you don't like Jesus. And if you don't like Jesus, then you don't know him, because everybody who knows him likes him. 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. A person can be forgiven the sins of hatred and murder, but there must be repentance. I mean, if one continues to murder, they're hellbound. And remember, hatred is spiritual murder to God. God says if someone hates Christians, then they don't have eternal life. And notice how he doesn't qualify that statement in any way. There isn't any unless. Verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. People say, I love you. But sometimes what they mean is, I like how you look. Or you please me. That's not God's definition of love. The biblical definition of love is sacrificing our desires and ourself to meet the needs of others. Jesus died for us. So if we want to love like him, like God wants us to, then we must sacrifice for God and for others. And so Jesus showed us what love is. He showed us how to do it when he hung on the cross, suffering so that we wouldn't have to suffer. 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? If a professing Christian has money, and I mean money to spare, plenty of money left over after their needs are met, and they don't help another Christian who's in desperate need of help just to get by, then I wouldn't bet a nickel on their salvation. People like that are sinful, selfish, worldly, and give no evidence that the Holy Spirit is in them, because he wouldn't tolerate that attitude. At least not long term. He just wouldn't. 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. God is not impressed with a feelings type of love. He is not impressed with those who only talk about their love. Love becomes a reality when it does something for the benefit of God or another person. Until it actually does something, it's just a theory. It's a nothing thing. It's just words. 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. God wants us to be sure that we are saved. He wants us to have the peace and the joy and the confidence that comes from knowing that we are right with him through Jesus Christ. He wants us to be confident that if we died today, we would go to be with him. And the only way to have that confidence is by living a holy life, which includes loving others. Now, I've got to add this. Loving others doesn't necessarily mean liking others or having fond feelings towards others. One doesn't have anything to do with the other. Loving others means being kind to others, even sacrificially kind to others at times. Loving others means doing what is in the best interest of others. Living like that helps us to have the assurance of our salvation. 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. No matter how bad we are, no matter how bad we think we are, no matter how shocked we are to discover how bad we are, God still loves us. Our hearts condemn us when we think about our sinfulness. But the Bible says God is greater than our heart. Let our heart tell us that we are no good if it wants to. I'm not going to argue. That's not going to stop God from wanting us. He already knows all about that. And it doesn't stop him from wanting us. People say, I can't come to Jesus because I have such a bad self-image. Well, those people need to stop thinking about what they think about themselves and realize that God doesn't care what they think about themselves. 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. In other words, if we do not have any unconfessed sin in our life, then we can have confidence before God. That means we will have confidence to trust him with our future and with whatever we may be facing today. When we're close to Jesus, we know that everything will be okay. And nothing in this world can beat that feeling. And so he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, we cannot earn a yes answer to our prayers by being good. And I say that because everything we receive from God is a product of his grace. However, when we are right with God, when we choose to please him, he answers our prayers because he wants to. He does not answer them because we deserve it. He answers them because it makes him happy to make us happy if we like to make him happy. See, it's about me and God. It's about you and God. It's a relationship thing. 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Stop there. The big commandment that no one can afford to break is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And to believe in Christ means to believe that he died for your sins. And if you do, you will make him the Lord of your life. That is the big command. You get that one wrong, you're going to hell for sure. Jesus said, if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sin. Every other command is secondary to that one, because believing in Christ saves us, and not believing in Christ damns us. That's the big one right there. 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Loving others will not save anyone, but it is a sign that you are saved. Anyone who's full of hatred and bitterness is walking around with a spiritual placard which reads, follow me to the lake of fire, because that's where I'm headed unless I repent. 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. If we are Christians, then God's Spirit lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit causes us to believe in Christ. He causes us to care about Christ and want to obey Christ. Chapter 4, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. God tells us not to believe every spirit. You know that in back of every teaching, there is a spirit? If the teaching is true, if it lines up with the Bible, then the spirit involved is the Holy Spirit. If the teaching is false, then the spirits involved in that teaching are evil spirits. And here's the tricky part. Demonic spirits, evil spirits, are very good at disguising lies as truth. You say, well, then how can we tell the difference? Always remember, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, teaches that truth never contradicts the Bible. That is how you determine which spirit you are dealing with. How does it measure up next to Scripture? 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. If people are teaching the wrong thing about the person of Christ, then the spirit at work in them is an evil spirit. You know, one of the earliest heresies concerning Jesus was not a denial of his deity. The earliest heresy concerning Christ denied his humanity. Denied that he was 100% man, God in flesh. And someone says, well, that's not too bad, is it? It's very bad. Because if Jesus is not 100% real human, then he doesn't qualify to be the substitute sacrifice for the rest of us sinful humans. So, Satan was trying to undercut the work of Christ on the cross. So, John writes, every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. He's a real human. Now, verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. It is impossible to list all the ways that Jesus has been misrepresented over the years, and today as well. Some people say he's just an angel. The Jehovah Witnesses say he's the Archangel Michael. Lie. Others say he's just some other kind of created being. Some groups say that he's Lucifer's brother, another created being. Mormons teach that. He's Lucifer's brother, the devil's brother, created being, lie. Others say he's just a prophet. The Muslims say he's just a prophet, lie. No biblical support for any of that stuff. And on the distortions go concerning Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, any group, any church, any individual who teaches that Jesus is any of those things or misrepresents him in any other way is under the influence of demons or, as Scripture says right here, the spirit of Antichrist. If anyone says anything other than Jesus is 100% eternal God and 100% man and the only Savior for mankind, anybody who says anything other than that is distorting who he is. That's who he is. 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. True Christians have the Holy Spirit in them. Consequently, although they may be led astray for a time, the Holy Spirit will draw them back to the truth. Christians do not stay in false systems of religion. They are brought out by the Good Shepherd. 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. The they and the them refer to Antichrist, or false teachers who misrepresent Jesus. 5. They are of the world. The false teachers who misrepresent Jesus, misrepresent the Word of God, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. You know that the masses of this world do not love truth. The majority of people love sin and love what is false. They want to be told that they're fine with God, that they don't need to be holy, that they don't need to repent, that they don't need to make Jesus Christ their Lord, that they don't need to believe in Christ. That's what most people want to believe, and that's what most people believe because that's what they want to believe. Jesus is not popular with the masses of the world. And the Word of God is not popular with the great majority of people in the world. It's always been that way. Jesus had been very popular because of the miracles that he did. But boy, when he started preaching his straightforward message from the Word of God, he quickly became unpopular. One time, one sermon, he preached to 6,012 people one time. 6,000 of them walked out on him after the message was over. The only ones that left were stayed were the 12 apostles. So he was hated because of his message by many people, by most people. Consequently, the preacher today whose messages are popular with the unsaved world is not saying what God wants him to say. Can't be. Now, one who preaches the Word of God as it is will be popular with a remnant of faithful people who want to follow Jesus and sincerely want truth, but he will not be popular with the masses. 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The we and the us refer to the apostles. A true Christian will listen to the apostles' teaching, and that teaching is found in the New Testament of the Bible. True Christians want truth. They want truth that makes them comfortable, and they also want truth that makes them uncomfortable, if need be. They don't care as long as it's truth. Those who only want to hear Christian pep talks from motivational speakers disguised as pastors better double-check their salvation. Those who become stiff as a ramrod when they get something from Scripture that they don't like, that doesn't set well with them, have a big spiritual problem. The apostle says, we are of God. And he who knows God hears us. New Testament, writings of the apostles. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The saved are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who is God. And since the Holy Spirit is God, he has God's nature. And since God's nature is to love, a real Christian will love. Simple logic, that's what he's saying. A true Christian will have a heart for God and anything else that is God-like. Christians will love, not just those who are nice to them, but to those who are bad to them. That is what God did when he died on the cross for sinners. How do you know if you've been born of God? Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, the Bible says. And that's not to say our love is going to be as perfect and as consistent as God's, because it won't be. None of us love like God. But we'll know it's right, and we'll want it, and we will have it, at least to some degree. 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. As the Bible says, who is God? God is love. He's more than love. But here's what this means. Everything that he does because he loves. That's what motivates everything that he does. That's the kind of God we have. And those who are saved and therefore have his nature living inside of them will love as well. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Those who say that God doesn't love them because something bad happened to them or God doesn't love me because he didn't give me something that I prayed for. People who say that fail to appreciate how much love it took for God the Father to allow his eternal Son to die for us. They don't have a clue. You're telling me that God doesn't love me when he gave his Son? He allowed his Son to be punished for my sin? Never accuse God of not loving you. We should never question his love for us. Look to the cross. Think about the cross and Jesus on it, and it's going to remind you just how much God loves you. 10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Stop there. God was not responding to our love for him when he allowed his Son to be crucified for our sins. God didn't say, you know, the people love me so much, I just have to love them back. That's not how it worked. God didn't say, they've just been so good to me. Mankind has been so good to me. I just have to repay their kindness. I'm going to send my Son. It's not how it works. Jesus died for us. He loved us when, because of our sins, we were offensive to him. 10. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. That's a big theological word, propitiation. It refers to the sacrifice which fully satisfied the demands of the broken law of God. In other words, Jesus' blood, his death, was the payment, the punishment for our sins. His death satisfied the holy justice of God so that now God can forgive us if Jesus is our Lord and our Savior.